Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Doing fine.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Doing well. And we are going to talk today a little bit about a suspicious non-murder.
Yeah.
You know, some shenanigans going on. Can you believe it? And that has to do, we want to revisit the police officer that died during the takeover, the coup,
yeah.
You know, the insurrection,
insurrection.
All the fudging that they did on January 6th. There were four people that died then. Two died from heart attacks, and it was not well known. And then there was one police officer that most people saw on television where the Capitol Hill police shot her.
Uh-huh.
We might mention that later on. And then also the big one that's been in the news, and we might even be able to show some of this, and that is where they needed, politically, the Democrats needed something. There was a trial going on, the impeachment trial,
yeah.
And of course, Trump caused everything. He caused the insurrection, and when they couldn't prove he caused the insurrection, they say, well, he is guilty, even though he didn't tell them all to go and do these things. He's still guilty. He's
yeah.
still guilty, one way or the other, because somebody died, and he wouldn't have died if it hadn't been Trump. It's over the top. You'd think they wouldn't even entertain this, but they had a lot of stories. They were all canned. They were all coordinated. Fortunately, there were a few good reporters out there. Number one reporter was Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah.
Glenn. And he did the investigation, and we've been reading his stories. But yesterday, what was confirmed was the release of the coroner's report, the medical examiner. And guess what?
Yeah.
All these things, and I imagine you have looked at them, you might even have one,
uh-huh.
where the stories were that the police, they beat him to death with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can you believe it? It was all based on lies.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, maybe Trump has something there, maybe there was a little bit of fake news on that. No. They just go on, they ignore it, and they go on to the next lie, trying to say that Trump caused it for other reasons. This is really bad, but this episode of revealing this from the coroner, have to say that this is, you know, truth has finally broken out. How long has it been since January 6th, you know, that this happened, and yet they're finally getting to the truth of it, and maybe at the, for the month, you could maybe argue for the first month, maybe there wasn't enough evidence anybody had to say exactly what happened. But instead, immediately, they knew it was this horrendous killing, you know, with a fire extinguisher. Turned out to be a lie. Unbelievable what they do for political reasons.
For political reasons. You know, Greenwald, good honest progressive, he had to endure months and months of brutal treatment by his, I won't even call him journalist, but by his colleagues in the profession, because he was dogged. He wanted to investigate this. Something didn't smell right to him about the claims that Officer Sicknick was murdered with a fire extinguisher. And I have a couple of tweets of his, of some of the things he was called for doing that. But, you know, the fact, Sicknick being murdered by pro-Trump supporters was critical to the narrative, though. Without that, you don't have the single dramatic event that would compel people to believe that this was an insurrection. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of people breaking into
right.
the Capitol. And, you know, the famous article, it was a New York Times, he dreamed of being a police officer, then he was killed by a pro-Trump mob. That's what set it off. And we actually have a clip. This is from a tweet that Glenn put out, I think, this morning or late last night. And you can see how the media just all in unison. Let's listen to this clip.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the hours-long attack.
They beat a Capitol Police officer to death with a fire extinguisher.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the fight.
He died at the age of 42 after he was bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher.
All a lie, all a lie, all saying the same things, all a lie. They didn't bother to check their sources. They just completely repeated it because they needed to have, disgustingly, they needed to have this murder. Otherwise, Americans weren't going to believe the story about an insurrection.
And of course, it was in the middle of the impeachment hearings, and this would go against, and that was being used against Trump. You know, so it fell apart. And this is to me so amazing that people are so anxious to believe it. They're almost willing. They're almost like masochists. So, you know. This suffer for it. This go along with it. It sounds okay to me. I'll do it. And they look at all this, but the whole thing is it was probably the biggest motivation was partisanship, partisan gain, and what they could do to steal. They're absolutely out of their minds with this obsession against Trump.
Yeah.
You know, he's of course we've said that he is not exactly our libertarian favorite.
Yeah.
But for somebody to get the treatment that he's had, and all I can think of is that when he talks about fake news, boy, I'll tell you what, if people can look at all this and look at the evidence now and say, oh, there's no fake news there, they did a good job, and truth will find its way out and all this stuff, and put up with this. But this is the perfect example of the insanity of people buying into fake news, more fake than I ever dreamed it could be. And they do it all with a straight face. But the only reason I can sort of try to understand this is when you're really, really out of it as far as living in a free society where truth is found the way Greenwald would find the truth. It's found in a different way in an authoritarian society. The orders come down. And, you know, we think so many times that the control of truth under a communist system or Nazi system is understandable. But in this system, it's still the party.
Yeah.
It's the party run by the Pelosi's of the world.
Yeah.
You know, those individuals, and they're the ones who decide what will the truth be. And the media rolls over, and now we have hundreds of businesses rolling over, you know, for the woke exposure.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do what they want and defy anything that looks like it'll undermine our system.
Yeah. Well, for those who haven't seen it, you know, as we suggested, the chief medical examiner for Washington, D.C. ruled that he had two strokes, I think, at the base of his brain, and died, I think, 24 hours or so after the events on January 6th. There's no evidence that he suffered an allergic reaction to any chemical irritant either. And that's what, you know, as the extinguisher narrative started to fall apart, the same people were trying to build a new narrative, which is, okay, maybe it wasn't a fire extinguisher, but they sprayed him with bear spray and that killed him. Well, the medical examiner said that wasn't it either. It's not to say that the events of that day may not have contributed to his decline in health and death the next day. The point is not that. The point is that he was not willfully murdered by the pro-Trump mob.
And the people who knew him best, his family, they didn't believe that narrative at all.
Yeah.
And they tell the story that he called and talked with them that night and said he was fine.
Really fine.
So
yeah.
This whole thing just falls apart. It is sort of, I know they can get away with murder, so to speak, and they can lie their way through this, but it's still astounding that the lies are so weak in the sense of persuading people to believe this. But there are so many people so anxious to do it, you know, and they, well, this proves exactly what we believe about Trump. And, you know, even today, this probably didn't change the minds of the people who want to believe that all this stuff is true.
Yeah. Well, let's go through a couple of these tweets, because Glenn rightly and deservedly did a couple of victory laps after this came out, and he deserved it if anyone did. And here are a couple of them. I'm just going to read a couple of these. He says, the corporate media lies to you constantly because they only care about pleasing the political ideology and flattering the preconceptions of their audience. Substack, which is where he writes, in similar platforms allow truth to be aired, which is why they hate it. They want to shut down Substack. There's the next one. And this is just an example of what's happened, what's done to him. All the evidence was there from the start that the media lie was dubious. But anyone who flagged these was accused of being a pro-insurrectionist fascist. So journalists clung to the lie. And then he says, Democratic Party loyalists pretending to be journalists is what's killing journalism. This is what they do to anyone who questions. You have to not only have contempt for these people, but you have to see, well, I can't see it from here, but anyway, what he references is Josh Marshall, who's a Democratic Party operative pretending to, can we put it back up there, please? Pretending to be a journalist who talks about Glenn Greenwald's digging into the story, which is what a journalist should do. This is back in February. He said, it was my professional obligation to read Glenn's insurrection coddling thread, and holy blank, it's as much BS as you could imagine. He's a full-on sick Nick truther. Sad. This is how they try to destroy his reputation, Dr. Paul. And one final one, and I'm going to turn it back to you, but I think this, there's one more tweet. Yeah, there's one more. This is how Democrats posing as journalists have trained people to react if you refuse to echo their lies and insist instead on evidence. You're a racist, a fascist, a white nationalist. And this is what one described him. Glenn Greenwald, once an esteemed journalist, now carrying water for white nationalists. It's ridiculous. And he points out at the bottom, these people never gave the slightest blank about Sicknick. He was a toy to them. They needed to create a lie about how he died because it was the only one they could claim was killed by pro-Trump protesters. So they invented a harrowing story that was complete BS. That's pretty sizzling, and he has a right to say that.
You know, I was thinking about all this activity going on, and you know, if and when we've had a freer society, a more honest and moral society, lying still existed, but lying was rather rare, and truth was more common. But now we live in a society where the people who are paying attention assume everything they hear is lie. So lying is routine now, and it's expected. Anything coming from certain quarters, political quarters, and truth is so rare. So when you come up with it, and when we come up with a Glenn Greenwald, all of a sudden, you know, it's a shame that he is so alone.
Yeah.
You know, but because there was a time when you had not one or two, you might have 10 or 15 or whole newspapers actually tried to present the truth, but there is no effort to do it now. The whole concept of flipping, this concept of telling the truth and reporting to the people, and no wonder the people are so cynical and so upset, and there are so many good people that would like to hear the truth, but they feel pretty helpless on how to do it, you know, how do they achieve it, because not all of them are going to, maybe we should get more people to watch our program.
That would be nice.
And help out.
Yeah. Well, Greenwald also pointed out the hypocrisy of these people. These are the same people, these same leaders, Democratic Party leaders in the mainstream media, who had embraced for months a movement that claimed that all police are racist and that they need to be defunded and they are all terrible. And as soon as they got the death from Sicknick, they turned on a dime and became thin blue liners, you know, and it was such utter hypocrisy on their part, and Glenn captures that. Do you want to move on to the next?
Yeah, I want to talk about it because in a way it's similar. It's who's telling the truth and what's going on. But the woman that was killed.
Yeah, Ashley Babbitt, yeah.
By the Capitol Hill Police. And actually, the actual shot was seen on TV. And a lot of people had sympathy with her. She said she made a mistake. Obviously, she did make a mistake. But it was a significant killing in public that deserves some investigation. But I have found out just recently that there's something very, very unique about the Capitol Hill Police. They're almost like, I can't use the bad word, but that they're a police unto themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't have to really follow any laws. So she, there was some investigation, I guess, going on, but it was just dismissed. They said, closes the probe. They said there is nothing to worry about. You could make a case for saying, maybe they should have spent more time on that because nobody knows what is going on and nobody really cares. But you'd think both left and right would be, because it was somebody who got killed by a policeman, but you don't hear anything. But you know some lives are just more valuable than others. Lives matter most more, and that's what I think happens here. But she's going to be a forgotten person. At the same time, if you have a non-murder or non-killing, and it's all fiction based on lies, every single media, not everyone, but just about anything that came, you know, anywhere drift from a from a truly conservative libertarian viewpoint, is going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he was killed by everybody beating the living daylights out of him with a fire extinguisher. And you know, they sent out the orders, but it was also, once he got into the New York Times, you know, who can resist? They're upstanding reporters, which is a bunch of baloney, and thank goodness we have Glenn Greenwald to sort some of this out.
Yeah.
And others, Tucker's and helped others, on this.
Tucker's helped too. Well, yeah, it's interesting about the Capitol Hill cops, because they really are subject to Pelosi on the House side. And it really, I mean, I don't have any evidence, but it certainly opens the door for corruption if she controls them, because it raises questions like, why did we see so many pieces of video where it seemed like the police just stepped aside and let the people go into the Capitol, and once they were in, they claim insurrection? I don't know what the answer is, but it certainly opens the door. But here on Ashley Babbitt, let's look at this next clip. This is from Reuters this morning, and it's a head-scratcher. It says the U.S. Department of Justice has closed its investigation into the death of Ashley Babbitt, a participant in the January 6th riot, saying there was no evidence to prove the officer who shot her had violated her civil rights. I don't know about that, Dr. Paul, but I think being shot and killed as an unarmed person does kind of violate your rights. We weren't in this situation. I wasn't a police officer in that situation, but she was shot in the neck. She was unarmed. She was inside the Capitol, where apparently she was not supposed to be. But it is kind of a head scratcher that it's not a violation of your rights to get shot by the police for trespassing in this case. And in other cases, of course, we can point out the double standards.
Right. You know, there was another thing in the news dealing with the trial going on right now, and the jury is out in Minneapolis. And I think we even talked about it the other day.
Yeah.
of what Maxine Waters, some of her incitement. But she's been known to do this, and people can gather that up. And we even did that.
Tons
we took
of
one
it,
out
yeah.
from 2018, and she's been doing it. And if there was an incitement, now she evidently overstepped her bounds, spoke, and it was even because of that the defense asked for a mistrial, and the judge was obviously considering it, didn't give it, but he said that he said something which sort of surprised me, and he was sort of talking to the attorney and said, you may have a pretty good reason for filing for you know an appeal.
Wow,
on
yeah.
this.
Wow.
So that to me is really pretty amazing that this has happened. But when somebody, I think they asked Waters something, they said, aren't you concerned about this? She said, oh, no. She says, that's just that white supremacy. We can dismiss that easily. That was her attitude. Just saying, well, no, she was so sarcastic. She said, just look at the color of her skin.
Wow.
But that's not racism. That's just unadulterated hate.
Yeah, that's hate. It's terrible. I wanted to just step back really quick to the January 6th thing, because the other thing, and Adam Dick at RPI has a piece up, ronpaulinstitute.org, click on it, but he noticed a Politico article earlier today about the all of these dozens and dozens of people that have been arrested for the so-called insurrection have been held in solitary confinement for months. And now that we know there's not a single murder that happened there, what are the justification not only for holding them for so long, but for holding them in such conditions? And to their credit, two Democratic senators who both blasted the insurrection, you know, blasted these people. They're no fans of them, but they said, hey, and this is Dick Durbin and Elizabeth Warren, she said, hey, this is cruel and unusual punishment to hold these people so long in solitary confinement. These are almost political prisoners, I think. And I just looked at the Politico article, and this, I just grabbed something out of it. There's something that we all remember. And this is Richard Barnett. And he's the guy that was photographed with his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. He's a wise guy, a smart aleck, you know, and he may have taken some of her stuff. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, what he did, I mean, isn't it in San Francisco and other cities, they told the police, don't even arrest people for stealing anymore. You know, that's we're not going to bother them for that. But here's a guy, maybe he took something, who knows. But for putting his feet up on her desk, now he's been held for months in solitary confinement. He said, it's been a long time. It's not fair. You're letting everyone else out. I need help. It sounds like something that would happen in a Soviet system, where if you mock Stalin or if you mock the great leader, then you get put into jail like this.
You know, the good news that may be coming out of this is Durbin and Warren. The fact that they spoke out.
Good for them.
And we have a congressman in South Texas now, Democrat, speaking out, you know, on the bizarre way we're handling our borders down there. And so I guess on the extremes, a few of them will break, but they need more of that because they get the high ground and they come across as the moral individuals and they dominate the news. But I think there will be more and more people wake up. You know, they talked about impeaching Waters. The impeachment doesn't occur, but I hope she, you know, has a little bit of a challenge in the election, because if you can't do that, you're never going to do it. But these districts are so well managed that that's not going to happen. But no, I think there's it's good to see that where they would break and say, you know, a little bit of common sense. And of course, we believe they're moving in the right directions because they're considering a real civil liberties. Yeah. You know, they can set aside their emotions about Trump hatred and these things. They just said, what are you doing with these people? You know, so hopefully they get some credit in their districts.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to close with a couple COVID things, if you think we're ready. Let's skip the one with the picture on it. Let's go to the second one, Norwegian Institute of Public Health, if we can kick that up. This is fascinating, because I saw this on Twitter today, Dr. Paul. This is the Norwegian Institute of Public Health, and they have decided that based on this knowledge, we come with a recommendation to remove the AstraZeneca vaccine from the coronavirus immunization program in Norway. That's it. They're done with it. They're done with it. And let's go to the next picture. And here's why. It's really quite interesting. Since there are few people who die from COVID-19 in Norway, the risk of dying after vaccination with the AstraZeneca vaccine would be higher than the risk of dying from the disease, particularly for younger people, says the head of this Norwegian institute. In addition, there is reason to assume that there is skepticism about using the vaccine in Norway, and it's uncertain how many people would have accepted an offer of this vaccine anyway. And it reminds me of you said earlier, but you always talk about the swine flu. They've come to the realization that actually the vaccination is worse, is more dangerous than the actual virus.
And that's what happened in the 70s. It definitely was. You know, the whole thing is a lot of people get very, very complacent about this and think that it's okay. But this is really very, very serious. But once again, they're waking up, you know. I guess this is the real awakening when you wake up to truth instead of you're woke into believing the garbage that they put out. And I think this is good that they're starting to recognize this, but it is so bad. And that just makes my point stronger than ever, is there's a different way of handling something that it looks potentially dangerous and it has to do with people getting sick. Where did we ever get this authority that our federal government can lock down a nation, you know, and punish people and incarcerate and penalize.
Yeah.
And even some of those things are worse in Europe than they are here. But in some of the states, it's been pretty bad here.
Yeah.
So it's a really horrendous mess what's been going on here. And hopefully we're going to see an awakening, which would be positive.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of little short ones. Let's look at the next one, because remember, this is now 6 weeks after Gavin Newsom said it was reckless to open Texas. Let's look at this next. Here's an update on Texas and COVID. Here's daily deaths. I clipped this. This is just from yesterday. And I'm glad to see this. Daily deaths in the entire massive state of Texas yesterday, only 17 people died of COVID yesterday. And that's great news, because we don't want people dying, but it also just shows that the lockdowns didn't work. And the final one, Dr. Paul, because we have to, at least for my part, I want to end on a funny note. In Babylon Bee, I think, is one of the most hilarious, and you like them too. Well, they put something up yesterday that I laughed so loud and so much out loud that I had to put it up. You haven't seen this yet, so it's going to spring it on you. Let's look at this last clip. I just love this. Ron Paul disguises Federal Reserve Building as a Nike store in the hopes that rioters will burn it down. So anyway, I thought that
you must have sent it to me, because I've seen it.
Someone else, probably one of your family
Somebody
members.
Somebody had to explain it to me, though. Well, it's good. You know, I'm back on on the complications of the vaccine. And the evidence is coming out, and the point you made is very important, that more people could end up dying from the vaccine than from the disease itself. But there's a lot of people who have serious problems, who are sick and tired of it, or may live in the country, and they had to go through a rat race to get their shots, and they figure, well, I'll be better tomorrow. I think there are many, many more complications. But pretty soon, there are going to be more money made available. All the money in the world was available for all the companies in the world if they were on the ends with the government. And this is a bipartisan thing. It's sort of like the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
The medical-industrial complex, you spread it out and let everybody make the money and do that. And now when the reimbursements, you know, they divvy it out, like return of our liberties come a little bit of time. They just say, you're free again. No, we'll give you do this. Now you can be 5 feet apart, now 3 feet apart, and all that nonsense. So they divvied up. But I think when people admit and come to realize there's been people who get sick, and it was more or less permitted by the government, although it was never endorsed by the government. They never had an FDA approval.
Yeah.
So there'll be money appropriated, and there's going to be a lot of people applying. And it's really a mixed deal, because who should pay? You know, the government doesn't have any money. They don't produce anything, so they have to steal it from somebody else. It's a real mess. That's why it's best to have a system which we promote. The smallest the government, the better. They shouldn't be involved. We shouldn't depend on them. And it sounds very complicated. How would you ever accomplish that? And when people ask me that and they're in a dilemma, I say, well, how do you do this? It's overwhelming. I said, why don't we just start by, hey, people reading the Constitution. It's an imperfect document. There's a way of changing if you don't like it, but it's imperfect. But it would be a good start, you know, on how to do it. And yet nobody wants to start, because somebody will have to find that there's a couple dollars in for them. And people have become very dependent. The majority of people in the United States, certainly the part that really hurts us is the so-called productive people who are less productive now, the big corporations and big tech and all these people, they have free rein, and they're not libertarians. Maybe there are a couple in the tech industry, but basically they're in bed with the government. And I think the social media is in bed with the liberal government, and they provide the information that the government wants, and I think it's the big tech that is able to provide the surveillance of the people that the government always wants, and that part is getting worse. So I think that the evidence is bad. It's going to build up. The people aren't going to get fairly reimbursed, but there's going to be more and more people just say, I've had it. I'm not going to take any more of these vaccines. And our position has been maintained that nobody should tell you what to do, but you should pay attention and make up your own mind that even if we think that you shouldn't do it, in a free society, you really have the right to do it, but you shouldn't have the predicament of the government pushing it on us and mandating it and threatening you with your job and everything else. People say, well, I'd like to, I believe you, and I don't want to wear this stuff. And yet they say, but if I don't, I don't have my job. They say, you're out of here. My boss isn't quite libertarian enough to let you do what you want to do. So it's a real mess that we have, but it can be solved by people deciding, I want to live in a free society. My life is my own. The government doesn't own me. My life is such that I can take my own risk. I should be able to use my energies. I should be able to spend my money the way I want, and we should only participate in a government that realizes it's none of our business to pretend that we know how to run the world. We don't know how to run people's lives. We don't know how to run the economy. We don't know how to run the world. So that means we could greatly reduce the size and scope of government. And the neat part is that I am absolutely convinced that we will be much freer and much more prosperous. So that's what I will continue to work for. But I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Continue to help us spread our message. It will be a benefit to all of us. And please return to the Liberty Report soon.